Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Welcome to Give Me Your Heart. I'm Margie Campbell, Christian wife, mom, and musician. This is a space where I offer encouragement to women in all walks of life who desire to grow closer to the Lord, and especially moms and grandmas who are discipling young children. I am so glad you're here.
Well, happy summer.
Hey, thanks. Happy summer to you.
We're in the land of popsicles and pool sides.
That is true. That is true. How has your summer been? Mine is full of popsicles and pool sides. What has yours been like?
Busy. Very busy.
Yeah.
June was a really busy month. It was like building up to the church camp.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the second week of June, right
Kansas.
In the middle of June. Yep.
So hot.
It was
it as hot this year as it has
it
been
was
in
not.
Past?
Okay. No. Now the first year I went, it was really, really hot, but
right.
It wasn't as bad this year.
But you had a good time.
We did. It was really great. The teaching was really good.
And what did he focus on?
We were in Philippians.
Okay.
We were working through Philippians. And the food was good. I'm a big foodie.
Well, and Grandma and Grandpa have been cooking at the local church camp. So
yes.
Grand Oaks.
Yeah.
And your food out there, how would you compare it? Is it like prepared stuff or is it?
It is. They're fixing it there. They had like a smoker out back and they smoked some meat.
So not like chicken nuggets and.
There was like one day that we had, they were called steak sticks or something. That was interesting.
Steak sticks?
We all just decided not to ask what was in them. I was like, no, Michaela, we're just going to eat them. We're at church camp. Pray.
And you did.
Pray
you took Michaela.
I took Michaela. I was her chaperone.
There you go.
Yes. And I got to play violin with the worship band.
That's so nice.
That was fun.
Listen to me. I said, that's so nice.
It was so nice. Yep.
Any major exciting things that happened?
We lost the power steering on the way home.
Oh,
in
Ian
the church
told
van.
Me about that. Yeah.
Yep. He got to muscle it all the way home. We went to the Walmart and they were like, nope, we only change tires or oil. You're on your own.
Man.
And then we looked through the user manual and he was like, it says it won't tear it up. Guess from driving it home.
There you go.
So that's what we did.
Well, it's a good thing you don't have a wimp for a youth leader.
Yes.
How did you get, because you're in college classes this summer. So how did that go?
Well, I had 4 hours up there and 4 hours back. So I just crammed all the math stuff on the way up there and I crammed all the science on the way home.
Oh my goodness.
It was.
You mean they don't allow for summer breaks and summer camps and college
classes? I wish.
Wouldn't that be
great?
But
I am very grateful that I will not be doing these classes during a full load. I am so glad that I'm doing the math and the science over the summer.
So you're doing statistics for math?
It's mathematical reasoning.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was statistics.
And then it's a conservation science course. So,
okay.
Both.
So the conservation science is a gen ed.
Yeah. It's just to cover my science for my fine arts
and
degree.
Is the math class part of your business degree?
It's counting for like both. It's counting as like my general math and it counts towards your business degree.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because you're. Algebra credit didn't transfer.
Yeah, my algebra credit didn't transfer.
Oh, God bless.
Oh, joy. But there are so many, there are good things that I'm learning in the mathematical reasoning class, I think. So, all good stuff.
Yeah.
So, lots of memories being made.
Yes. You guys came home with a lot of stories.
Yes.
And then you got back to doing the normal thing.
Yep. Band, podcast, school. Just
more school.
Yeah. And we both live in the same house, but sometimes I feel like we just go days without speaking to one another or having an actual conversation.
This is our conversation time.
So hi.
Hi.
How have you been? How's your summer going?
I'm
other than popsicles and pool slides.
Well, okay, popsicles and poolsides are my best life. I am living my best life. I am a little kid, middle kid, any kid, really, kind of person.
Yeah.
It is my happy place to just be summertime mama. Yes. No homeschool, no having to do the mean teacher bit, no having to regulate bedtimes.
Strict and schedules.
Yes. Just getting to say, do you want to go to the pool? Load up.
Yep.
Or let's go meet daddy for lunch at the park. And they say, sweet.
Grab your water bottles.
Yeah. Grab what you need. I need a resume that says something like popsicle passer outer. Or maybe potty break chaperone.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah. One fun thing. I have discovered the glory of the audiobook on my earbuds. I can't really read at the pool because while Maggie and Cy are super independent and do not want me up in their business.
They can't swim.
No. I mean, we get there and they wave at me like, thanks for driving us. Now go away. And
it's like,
you're three.
You're three. Yeah, I can't just leave you
alone. I got approached at the pool by the manager last week and some poor woman that Maggie was hanging on, she comes to the manager. She's like, I haven't seen a parent with this child since I arrived. I think that she's here alone. And the manager is wonderful. I love her dearly. And she's like, we don't have any three-year-olds here alone at the pool. I check them all as they come in. She's not a rogue three-year-old. And I'm thinking.
No, she didn't go, oh, no, I know this three-year-old.
Yeah.
That would be Maggie.
Parent of the year over here. I'm just at the snack shack eating a dill pickle. So sorry. But they can't swim, and I have to keep my eyes on them. But I can listen. So I have listened to two whole books in the month of June.
That is impressive.
I know. It's remarkable. That is a thing for me.
Yeah.
It's a challenge to shut it off, though, which is why I have never gotten in to reading. Like, I will read or listen. I don't know. This is the first time I've really listened. But I will read something over Christmas break.
Yeah.
Or summer break.
Well, you usually get your books in by reading aloud to the kids during the school year.
But it's not something I can keep up on because when the earbuds are in, well, not plural, one, I never put in both.
Yeah.
I have degenerative hearing loss, and so I don't hear good under the best of circumstances. Yeah. But I can't hear what the kids say, and they don't feel like they can talk to me, and that's not good. It's one thing while they're in the pool and they're not wanting me to be present, but otherwise I need to be able to hear them. And just complete transparency, my entire existence is a revolving door of you kids and dad walking in the room or texting me or calling me to basically just unload about what's going on in your life. I am that person.
Yeah.
And I am not complaining here. I love that. I wouldn't want to change that. I want to be that person to each of you. But I have to be mentally present, well, and emotionally available. And I have to lean in and listen. And for the 13 and under crowd, I basically, during the summer, I just let them run free. They have their chores. They have their instruments. But I let them run, and then I try to stay present. So that when they come running back to tell me what they've been doing, they want to see signs of life. they don't want me to ask questions or start some kind of explanation that becomes a lesson. Yeah. But they do want me.
Wow.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Cool.
Yes. They want grunts. They want signs of life.
Or a referee.
They do not. I'm not going to referee. I'm classic for running them out of the room because I refuse to get in the middle of their sibling squabbles. I'm not wearing a whistle.
Because you're not a referee. I have heard that one at least 100 times.
That's
one
of my famous quotes. But it's true.
It is.
I'm not. I'm not.
So in all together, popsicles, the pool, audiobooks, intentional listening, and no refereeing. Have you actually recovered from the wedding, you think?
I think so. But I'm pretty sure this podcast audience, all six of them, have no desire to hear any more about this wedding. The Monday morning after the wedding was Memorial Day. And that was a full day of extended family dinner,
visiting graves.
But it was the first day of swim team practice.
Oh, yeah, it was.
No rest for the weary. But swim team's fun. The kids love it. It's the only sport we do aside from an occasional soccer season and like club soccer, not competitive anything. So I'm not burnt out on sports.
Yeah.
When that rolls around, it's something I look forward to.
Yeah, and it's a good life skill too.
Yes. I am very serious about investing our family time in life skills.
Yeah.
Huge priority for me. If we're going to do it, it has to be something that they can come alongside me and participate with me at a young age. And it has to be something they're never going to outgrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of things like sewing and definitely the gardening,
playing instruments, swimming,
bike riding is a good one.
Yeah. Praying.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Interesting that you would bring up praying in that list.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's the topic that we're going to introduce today and focus on in our next several podcasts. And this is episode number 8. And just a quick recap from the beginning of, I guess you would call it the first season.
Ooh, your look season. You think there'll be multiple seasons?
Oh yeah, I've got big plans, baby. This is just season 1.
Oh my.
And from the beginning of this season, we have focused on the model prayer and how we use it in our morning prayer time. And just to get focused, I'm going to read it. It's found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And for the first 4 episodes, we've talked about that first sentence, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we've told everyone how to use lists of God's names to choose a name per week to focus on as a family, and how you work that into your daily routine to keep your focus on Father God, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And those lists are on our website if anyone wants to go and print them off and use them. But we're going to move on to the second sentence. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And this is usually where we take some time and focus on praying for others.
Right.
Can you just give a quick overview of that? And then we'll come back and we'll kind of get into specifics.
Sure. Well, when I start Bible time, I list off the name for God if it's the beginning of the week. Or I ask, what's our name for God? And then we will look up that scripture reference and read it in context and talk about it for a few minutes. Then we try to have some worship time. I try to find a song that really ties into the name and allows us to worship God for whatever attribute or character trait the name is highlighting.
Mm-hmm.
I want the kids to know that God is a person.
Yes.
He has a personality.
Yeah, he has a character.
Right, and a history in the world, the same as every other person. And he is known by the way he has acted and interacted and the things he's done. So I never want to miss an opportunity to talk about God as a person. And after we've sung to him and worshiped him for whatever character trait we're focusing on that week, I always ask this question. All right, kiddos, tell me about the world God created.
Mm-hmm.
How many continents are there? And we go through the 7 continents and name them. And then I ask, and how many days are in the week?
Yeah.
And they respond. And we go back and forth naming the days of the week, which is very helpful in teaching calendar skills, teaching geography, because I have maps on the wall. I have the days of the week displayed. And whatever age the kids are, they're picking up all these bits of information in a natural way.
Yeah. Yeah. They've all just grown up or are currently growing up with that being their daily routine.
Mm. And layer upon layer, they retain it more and more. It's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And you can set that up however you want. But we do them in this order. So beginning on Sunday, we do Antarctica. Right. Monday is North America. Tuesday, South America. Wednesday, Europe. Thursday, Africa. Yeah. Friday, Asia. Saturday, Australia. Right.
Yeah.
So if it's Tuesday, we pray for South America. And we review the countries on that continent, or maybe just a region of it. Sometimes we've been reading a book, and something will snag their memory about a place in South America, or a custom. Maybe an entire people group or culture, like the Mayans.
It's very informal.
Mm-hmm. I do not use workbooks. We don't fill in any blanks. It's all very organic. Mm-hmm. We just build a conversation.
In some years, we've zoomed in and chosen a specific country from each continent and looked up facts about that country to help direct our prayers.
Yes. The girls wanted to pray for Peru one year. I really honestly think it's because Paddington came from darkest Peru.
I think you're right.
Whatever. They became really troubled when they found out the poverty rate, the literacy rate, and especially the disadvantages that Peruvian little girls, their ages, faced in the areas of
education. It made it very personal.
Education.
Like it was...
Yeah. It provoked a lot of heartfelt prayers from those little girls.
We need to take a moment and talk about how you find information on those countries.
Well, from movies like Paddington.
Of course. Where else?
No, there are... So, okay, several different groups with websites come to mind right off the bat. Compassion International, Samaritan's Purse, Voice of the Martyrs.
Yep.
International Mission Board.
World Vision.
Right. Radical with David Platt. If you look those up on the internet and scroll around a bit, you'll find tabs that say ways to pray.
How to pray.
Yeah, how to pray. And sometimes they'll break it down into regions. There's also a wonderful, wonderful little book called Window on the World. And while it's not going to be current and list current events that are affecting people in real time, it talks about the different regions of the world and the people groups that live there, where they came from, what they believe, what their culture's like, what their history has been, topics like those. That book can be a springboard. Let's say you know tomorrow is South America Day. So you look up a section in Window on the World about South America and choose a particular place to read about with your children.
Yeah.
Maybe nothing jumps out at you. And all you do is look that place up on a map, pray for those people, and move on. But let's say something does jump off the page and sparks a conversation. That's now a springboard to one of the other ministry sites I mentioned, like Samaritan's Purse or Radical with David Platt. Now you can get on their sites and look for current information about that people group, and boom, all of a sudden you're interested. It's relevant.
It's engaging the kids about what God's doing halfway around the world.
And this most definitely, it will lead, if you fix food and set the environment and have a gathering, so supper time.
Yep.
Somebody's going to bring up that conversation that you had earlier in the day. Food does this. We talked about this on the wedding podcast, to take the time during special event weekends.
Yes.
Even if it's bologna sandwiches, if you set the table and provide the food, conversation's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so dad starts asking questions and the kids bring things up, and that in turn leads to the kids hunting for more information.
Yeah.
And then they come back the next night to tell him what they found out. And it's just a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that's how Window on the World and books and resources like it are extremely helpful in connecting children with other people in places that don't look like them. They don't talk like them. They don't eat like them.
Yeah.
They don't even sleep like them. And notice that not once did we fill in a blank in a workbook or spend money on workbooks.
Yep. Or nag anyone to complete their homework in the workbook.
Right. Gag.
And it opens the door to so much conversation. And it opens their minds to other worldviews and realities from their own.
And it grows empathy and compassion and sometimes anger.
Yeah.
Deep emotions that leave them with questions. And those questions spark more conversations.
We've been using that word a lot. Why does that excite you? Why are you so hip about conversations?
Well, conversations allow children to process.
Yeah.
Allow them to build trust, to learn there's nothing they can't ask mom. Mm-hmm. They learn how to communicate and carry on a polite conversation. Quality conversations build listening skills. They are perfect child training opportunities for me as a mom. Mm-hmm. I don't have them raise their hands before they speak. It's nothing formal like that. But I am gently reminding, hey, let your sister finish before you speak. Mm-hmm. Or I might ask, are you thinking about what you're going to say next, or are you truly listening to what your brother is saying?
Yeah.
Communication skills, they are imperative
for social skills.
Oh, yes.
And for building relationships. Yeah. All areas of life. In business, in your friendships.
In school. Communicating with professors. It's the biggest, one of the biggest problems, especially with online classes, is that people don't know how to ask the questions that they need to ask or communicate with the instructors.
Yeah.
It's just, so imperative, like you said.
And I think that another offshoot of that is that after a good conversation, if it's a really good conversation, they will go away thinking. And that's building critical thinking skills, problem solving skills, research skills, logic.
Yeah.
And that in turn leads into rhetoric.
Yes.
Being able to defend what you found out. And the arguing that goes on at our kitchen table, people defending their idea.
Yeah.
Or, you know, arguing for or against something.
Yeah.
So
take all of that and circle back to how you use it, or how you use the name for God during this time.
Right. Well, Window on the World and other books like that are wonderful to pray for specific needs that a people group might have, such as clean water or healthcare for mothers and babies.
Yes.
Maybe human rights issues.
Very physical needs.
And I'm not saying that Window on the World ignores the spiritual. They don't. But we don't ever want to only pray for someone's physical needs. We want to pray.
It's not praying for their whole person.
Yes. We want to pray for all three parts. So the thoughts of their mind and the feelings of their heart. Their spirit and their physical body. And it's just not complete if you're not praying for all of it. But it's difficult for a child to know how to do that, especially sitting in a circle on the spot in front of others off the top of their head. And it leads to God bless so-and-so and keep them safe or God bless so-and-so and help them believe in you.
Yeah.
And there's obviously nothing wrong with those prayers. Mm-hmm. I encourage any prayer. But if our name for God that week is, let's choose, I'm looking at the list here. How about Isaiah 66:13? He who comforts you. It's very easy and natural to ask a child, if you lived in this culture, what ways would you want to ask God to comfort you?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say it's Wednesday, Europe Day. We have been praying for Ukraine and Russia since the beginning of that conflict. And when I've asked that exact question, if you lived in Ukraine, how would you want God to comfort you? Here are some of the responses from the last year or two. I would want to feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to have something that reminds me of home if I were a refugee. Here was a really good one. If I had been sent away from my parents, like evacuated to a safe place, I would want to hear word that my parents were okay.
Yeah.
Now we have something to pray for.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to pray for a specific child. There are refugee children all over that region. And a younger child might answer my question about comfort like this. Nate especially would say, I would want to not be scared.
Yeah.
What a wonderful prayer to ask Father something like this. Father, we know that you are the God who comforts us. We know that you have all the power in the world and can see every single person on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
We ask you right now to help any child in Ukraine or Russia that is afraid. We ask you to comfort them and give them courage. We ask you to have someone tell them the story of Daniel and the lion's den, and how you comforted him when he was a prisoner of war. We know you can help these children to not be afraid. Mm-hmm. And we ask you to do that right now in Jesus' name.
I get chills hearing you talk like this because that's my entire life. You know, that's how we prayed when I grew up. And, you know, I grew up knowing and not questioning that God was big.
Mm.
That he's over everything and everyone. And that I can talk to him at any time and about anything. And, you know, I used to really suffer from being scared at night, not being able to sleep, having, waking up in the middle of the night for no reason. And it was those prayer patterns that we just did over and over and over again during Bible time that helped me know how to approach that, those feelings. I knew how to pray. And I knew that if, you know, if I can pray that a little girl in Africa has no fear, that she won't be afraid, I can pray that for myself. And I really think God built my faith through the, all of those conversations, morning by morning and year by year, and just the consistency of it, I think was a big part of it.
I definitely have the same testimony, but with a little different twist. For me, it was my Girls in Action Missions Club on Wednesdays. We had two
GIA
faithful leaders that did it for my entire childhood. So we're talking like 6 years, K through sixth grade. They never stopped. They were faithful. It was Connie Hasty and Virginia Cooper. And we read scripted prayers about concerns all over the world that were printed in our little magazines. We had these little GA magazines. And it really opened my eyes to the hard parts of the world. Hunger and war and poverty. And our leaders and the articles in these magazines, they taught us that not everyone was experiencing the same life as we were in Midwestern America in the 1980s.
Yeah.
They also taught us scriptures. Things like caring for the orphan, loving the refugee, providing for the poor, and how God intends that the members of his church feel love, feel compassion, and are drawn to pray for both the physical and the spiritual conditions of people all over the world.
Yeah.
People that loved Jesus, but also people that had never heard about Jesus. And then once a year, we would go to GA conference and we saw hundreds of girls from across the state and we prayed with them. And looking back, I realize now that this focused prayer was a priority for the leaders of Girls in Action. And it really stuck with me. I can even recall before GAs, which started like in first grade, at least one memory from this little basement room off of our church fellowship hall where Carol Shank led our preschool missions class, and it's called Mission Friends. And I can remember praying that we were in a circle, and I had to be 3, 4, maybe 5 years old, and she was leading us in a little song and a prayer. So this prayer thing, Sissy, it's not, and I know you know this, but it is not minor to me. They, in those missions class, they taught us about giving, about raising money, about being willing to serve in practical ways. But it was never, ever separated from prayer. I grew up in a praying church where we even had an entire service every Wednesday night. And it was dedicated to absolutely nothing but prayer. So I had it drilled into my heart and my head, not through lectures, but through faithful example. That I, and I can't say this enough, you cannot tell children to do something. You have to live it. And bring them into what you're doing. And so,
because they notice that.
Right.
They see that.
And what I learned through faithful example of the saints in the church that I grew up in was that people who prayed were closer to God. They were less afraid. They were more content. They did not wring their hands and say, oh, what are we going to do about such and such? They just got together and prayed. It was literally laid down as the foundation of my life. And I credit those faithful women and the men at as being a tool for God to build faith. And like you said, it was little by little. It was moment by moment, prayer request by prayer request, year after year, until I became an adult who prioritized prayer. They were not perfect at it. I'm not perfect at it. You're never going to be perfect at it. But thank goodness that's not what God's looking for. He doesn't want perfect people.
No, he's looking for faith. And we talked a few episodes ago about this specific prayer of asking God for more faith and how asking for faith is a prayer that he's always going to answer.
Right.
And it's a prayer that builds us into Christians who prioritize prayer. Because when our faith grows, we can't help but start talking to God and our thought patterns. Mm-hmm. And the running dialogue in your head begins to change from you talking to yourself about whatever you're facing. And instead, you're finding yourself talking to God.
Right. So you're not stewing and worrying anymore. You're having a conversation.
Yes, you're casting all of your fears and worries on him. And why? Because your faith has grown to the point that you know he's present and that he's involved and active in your life and circumstances.
Right.
And prayer becomes your default instead of a planned activity that is scheduled into your day. Like from 9 to 9:30, I'm going to sit down and pray. Instead, it just becomes this inner dialogue.
And so are you saying that it's wrong to have a determined, scheduled quiet time in your day?
No, not at all. You should have dedicated prayer time where your only focus is talking to God and you're not multitasking. You're focused on him. And that's a discipline that has to be developed with purpose. But I'm saying that kind of planned activity, it will flow from asking for more faith. It will be a natural byproduct of your growing faith.
But not an unintentional byproduct.
Huh.
It will be, I don't think that you can, I see what you're saying. I don't think that you can grow in your faith and not feel drawn to talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you can grow, if you're not wanting to talk to God, if you're not aware that he wants you to, then I would question your faith.
Yeah.
I think that I know the Bible talks a lot about having faith is the sign that you are saved.
Yes.
You need to repent and believe, have faith. And so it will be a byproduct, but not an intentional byproduct, because especially for moms with young children at home, it will have to be very intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go so far as to say sacrificially intentional. You will have to give some things up. I have to work at having a dedicated time of prayer. And that's why it's called discipline.
Yeah.
It is one of the hardest things in my life to get that done, especially with small children.
But that's why you do it with us.
Well, that's one of the huge reasons I pray with you kids, because many times, well, most of the time, that is the dedicated, intentional, set aside time that you were talking about. That is what that is for me.
Yeah.
Is our time around the table. When moms say, how do you get morning devotions in when you have small children? Well, this is my honest answer. I do it with them.
Yeah.
My morning devotion is this process that we've been talking about on this podcast of going through the model prayer. And I include my children in it. It's the proverbial killing two birds with one stone. And while it is not a perfect Pinterest picture of a mama alone with a cup of hot tea and all of her notebooks from Mardell spread out and
special colored. I have special colored pens and a journaling Bible.
Oh, remember that Christmas that we bought the really nice matching journaling Bibles?
Yes.
And yours is like filled up and mine hasn't been touched. This is
mine. It depends on which Bible I was able to find that morning, because I have three or four.
But so that's an idealized picture of what a morning devotion could or should look like. And sometimes mine do look like that, because I'm no longer only a mother of preschoolers.
Yeah.
I have some helpers at this point. I'm also no longer a mother of a baby.
Yeah.
And I no longer have a toddler.
I'm
not pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I am so sick when I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
So there is nothing wrong with the picture that I painted. If you're in a season, or even an occasional season, like right now in summer, I have a little more space in my schedule to do that.
Yeah.
We're not doing co-op right now. I don't have extra music students. Mm-hmm. So both I'm not homeschooling. Do. I'm sort of homeschooling. I'm always homeschooling to some extent.
Yeah.
But you, so there's nothing wrong with that. But here's the real picture for the other like 10 or 11 months out of my year. Mm-hmm. Okay. That tea, it's dumped all over the expensive study Bible.
Yeah.
And then while I get up to clean the tea that the preschooler knocked over, while I'm gone, that same preschooler uses the expensive colored pens to decorate something.
Yeah.
Anything. The furniture, dad's recliner, the special notebooks is usually a really, you know, like targeted thing.
The baby. That's happened just a couple times.
Oh my goodness. It just literally turns into a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
And then you don't feel like it's worth it at all. Mm-hmm. Like, why did I even try to do this? Yeah. So it's best to just shatter the idealized picture that gets painted on Pinterest and accept the stage that you're in.
Bloom where you're planted.
Right. Bloom where you're planted. Involve those sweet little babies in what you're doing at their level and grow together. Bring them along with you.
Yeah.
If you start a daily habit of morning devotions with a child who's in a high chair, that child's not going to look at you when they are eight and go, "What are we doing this stupid morning devotion thing?" Did that not sound like every eight-year-old you've ever known? And if you start it before they have any idea what's going on, that's going to help tremendously.
Yeah. And obviously, I grew up in exactly the environment that we've been describing. And my personal prayer time today transitioned into just that from our morning time at the kitchen table. And at the camp that I referenced earlier, many of the chapel sessions were focused on the discipline of prayer.
So you said you guys were in Philippians.
Yes.
Okay.
And when I got home, I spent a lot of time rereading my notes and just organizing my thoughts. You know, you come away from something like that and you just need some time to, to organize, because you wrote all this stuff down.
Mm-hmm. But it's going at lightning speed.
Yes. And you don't really have time to think and meditate on what you've been learning. And so when I got home, I came up with a two-step action plan for remaining in prayer throughout my day.
Sounds exciting.
And so step one, be aware that you are in the presence of God.
Okay. Be aware that you're in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm. And step two, actively participate in intentional conversation with him.
Okay, that is a tongue twister. Say that again.
Actively participate in intentional conversation with him.
Okay.
And I've been really excited this entire episode.
I noticed a word you used there.
The backbone of what you've been talking about is conversation.
Yeah.
And many times I think that we view prayer as this one-sided phone call, like you are leaving a voicemail and you hope you get a response. And we don't view it as a conversation with omnipotent, omnipresent Father God. And you were talking earlier about the examples you saw while growing up and what you described as a praying church.
Right.
And how you saw joy and peace and contentment without anxiety in the adults in your church.
Right.
And it was because they were making a conscious decision to be aware of God's presence.
A decision
to be aware of God's presence.
Now, hang on a minute. Conscious decision. I can see why somebody might trip on that.
To be aware of God's presence and actively participate in intentional conversation with him. And that's faith.
I like that. So faith is a, let me see if I can re-say, conscious decision.
Mm-hmm.
To be aware of God's presence.
Yeah.
And that's part of your two-step action plan to, what did you call it?
My two-step action plan for remaining in prayer throughout my day.
Okay. I love this. I'm going to have to write this down. This is going on a note card in my dresser mirror.
Yeah. I was about to say in your bathroom mirror.
In my bathroom mirror.
Yeah.
Okay. So step one. I'm simplifying this. Step one, be aware.
Mm-hmm.
Step two, actively participate.
Yeah.
Be aware, actively participate. So what am I being aware of?
You are being aware of the presence of God.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
And then
actively participate in intentional conversation with him.
intentional yes. conversation.
And oftentimes I think we just cut God out of the equation and the moment by moment experiences. And we find ourselves being overwhelmed mm. by anything and everything. And it's not because God isn't there.
No.
It's because we're not making a conscious decision to remain in a God-centered state of mind and spirit.
To remain. It's so easy to get off track.
Yeah.
But think of that word.
To remain.
To remain. To abide. To live mm-hmm. in. John 15:4.
I heard it from the Lord. John 15:4. I heard it from the Lord. Take care to live in me. And let me live in you. Take care to live in me. And let me live in you. For a branch can't produce fruit when severed from the vine. Nor can you be fruitful apart from me. John 15:4. I heard it from the Lord. John 15:4. I heard it from the Lord.
Yes, that's from the New Living Version.
Yes, I'd kind of forgotten that one.
Yeah,
it's catchy.
That is
it's catchy.
I wrote that in Michigan when we lived in the trailer.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that's so funny.
That's a good one.
But it's from the New Living Version of the Bible.
Yes.
And that phrase, to live in, is in the, so the New Testament's written in Greek, and a lot of times I will look up what the original Greek word is for something, mm-hmm. and then our Bibles, it's obviously translated
yeah.
into English. And so that Greek word can mean to stay. I think in the New American Standard, it says to remain,
mm-hmm.
to abide.
Yeah.
My favorite is to be present.
Mm, that's good. And the instruction in the little song that we just sang, it's take care to live in me, taking care. That means you have to be intentional.
Yeah.
You know, it emphasizes a part of my little two steps that says to actively participate in intentional conversation.
Most definitely. Well, I think that's a good place to end for this episode. I know that this has given me a lot to think about.
Yeah.
I'm excited to write that down.
Yeah.
And I feel like I should be getting something out of this camp since yeah. I sent you and Michaela, both of my helpers. Well, Daisy's a good help, but
yeah.
the rest of them, I wouldn't say that they're big helpers, but it was fun
yeah.
to just have my littles and
yeah.
not be pulled in a lot of directions. But
yeah,
but I love a good camp.
Yes.
And learning from a different speaker,
mm-hmm.
a different perspective, and just getting away from the world.
Yeah.
Getting away from routine, getting away from work. I know
you had
to take school with you.
Kind of helps you step back and put everything in perspective for a minute.
Yeah.
Kind of remove yourself from all of the
right.
crazy stuff in life.
But other than when you all got up at church and Pastor Ian had you share just like mm-hmm. a little sentence about camp.
Yeah.
This is the first that we've talked about
yeah.
what you did and yeah. what you learned. And so I'm excited to write that down.
Yeah.
Well, would you pray?
Yes, I'd love
okay,
to.
Okay, go ahead.
Dear God, we thank you for the gift of the summer season, for all the popsicles and the pool days. We are grateful for the opportunity to slow down and just enjoy the memories that we're making and the time spent together. And we ask you for a deeper consciousness of your presence in our lives. Teach us to see you in the everyday moments and to engage in intentional conversations with you. Help us to grow in faith, trusting that you're with us, that you're guiding us, and that you're sustaining us. And as we go about the rest of our day, remind us to keep our focus on you and to pray without ceasing and to trust in your perfect plan and your timing. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, next time we're going to talk more about this idea of remaining and mm-hmm. abiding, of being intentional in our thought life.
Yeah.
Yeah. more.
Until then.
Yeah.
Give God your hearts, ladies.
Give God your hearts. Amen.